look at the PDP work team's work for the next 45 minutes. Operator, can you please restart the recording?
Recordings are started. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, this is the session that we had planned on the policy development process work team's final report, and here to present it, drum roll, is Jeff Newman.
Stand up. Okay, thank you. Actually, I'm not the one who deserves all the clapping on this. Actually, the work team worked very hard on this, so it's really them that deserve the clapping. But thank you. So anyway, as was said, we have a final report that's out there that we decided by a resolution to put out for public comment. That's out now for public comment till July 9th or somewhere. I think it's July 9th. And so hopefully that means that we can take some sort of action at the next council meeting in July 21st. So they've saved the best for last, the policy development process, which is the most exciting topic, I think. But it does affect us all, and there are a lot of there are some PDPs that are underway. There are some PDPs being contemplated. So it's a very important subject for all of us to consider to make sure we get all the input we need and to make sure that we get policy processes right. So just to go over some, and I'll go quickly through the introductory slides, but you know, we were responsible for developing a new policy development process that incorporates the working group approach, makes it more effective and responsive to ICANN's policy development needs, and our primary tasks were to develop appropriate principles, rules, and procedures applicable to a new policy development process and an implementation transition plan. So we convened a little bit earlier than the transfer IRTPB. I think they started in July 2009. We formed in February 2009. We had an initial report published in May of 2010, and we had a proposed final report that was published in February 2011. We've reviewed multiple public comment. We've had multiple public comment periods, and we continued deliberations on open issues, and our final report, as we said, is out there. It's important to note that the final report doesn't just include a number of recommendations. There's 48 of them, but it also includes a draft or proposed policy development process manual that will be attached to the GNSO operating rules and procedures. And of course, an Annex A, which is to the bylaws. So this is something that will have to not only go through our process, but has to go through the formal ICANN board process of approving amendments to the bylaws. And like the transfer group, this group's recommendations, all 48 of them has, or actually should say the report. The report has a full consensus support from the PDP work team. So just to kind of go over a high level of what we did and the tasks we performed, we basically broke down the PDP process into five different stages. One, the planning and request for an issues report. Two, the council review of issues report and initiating the PDP process. Three is the working group, around the working group. Four is voting and implementation. And five is policy effectiveness and compliance. So the recommendations are in a bunch of different categories. Some recommendations are around codifying existing practices. Some recommended completely new approaches. Some recommended changes to the bylaws. And some were moved existing elements of a policy development process or new elements that we came up with to a PDP manual. And it was viewed by those in the group to really put those recommendations that we did not want to be as flexible into the bylaws, but move other recommendations in the PDP manual that we thought could be more easily changed by the council with only an oversight role of the board. So what are some of the key recommendations that I think will impact all of us and all of our stakeholder groups and constituencies? We now recommend the use of a standardized request for issue report template. This actually was optional in our proposed final report, but we seem to have gotten a lot of comments from, or am I going to the wrong template? Sorry.
We recommend the template, but there are only two fields, I think, where we say, or two elements of information that are supposed to be provided that are required, which is the name of the requester and the issue to be raised.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, Marika should give the presentation. Sorry. Then we have recommendation of publishing, and we follow this, by the way, for the UDRP, is instead of coming out with just a final issue report that's drafted by staff and called upon to vote by the council, we recommended the publication of a preliminary issue report followed by a mandatory public comment period, after which a final report will be published. And so that's, again, like I said, the tack that we're taking for the UDRP. And I think regardless of how that comes out, whether we decide to form have a PDP or not, I think we all kind of agree that that was a good process to follow. We also have modified the time frame for the creation of a preliminary issue report to give a maximum of 45 days. There was a very stringent requirements, if you all remember, which are still there in the bylaws, which we thought were not really realistic, and actually were never really followed. So we now are much more flexible. And I think the approach you'll see with most of the recommendations are that of being more flexible. And so our recommendations around the initiation of a PDP, we require a charter. That was not previously required, although that's what we've done in practice. We have instituted dialogue between the GNSO Council and an advisory committee. If an advisory committee is asking for a PDP, but we do not ultimately initiate the PDP. A public comment period upon initiating the PDP to become optional, and clarification of what is in scope of ICANN policy process or the GNSO. Around the working groups, we've made recommendations around a minimum public comment period, recommendations related to implementation, impact, and feasibility, so that the working group should provide input into this. We maintain the general notion of having both a preliminary, or I should say initial and final report, although we do also provide flexibility for additional outputs of the of a working group, maybe a proposed final report or other types of reports that the groups can put out. And we allow for, believe it or not, there is no concept in the bylaws of terminating a PDP once it started. And although we've never terminated a PDP at this point once it's been started, we've come close. I think vertical integration delivered its final report, and then we terminated it. We didn't get to all the issues in the initial charter, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't. VI was a special case where a board decision came in and made the rest of the work moot.
Right, but we had a final report, and then we decided...
No, it wasn't a final report.
Okay. So there you go. We've instituted it now. And now we'll have much more guidance if we want to do that in the future. And for voting and implementation, we have guidance to the council on the treatment of PDP working group recommendations. Something like we have in there, for example... if the working group wants certain recommendations to be considered as a grouping or as some people have said, a tapestry of solutions, right, that they'll make that recommendation to the council as to why they want those voted together. Are we taking questions now, or do you want me to go through it? I'm fine with taking questions.
I think Jamie wants you to stop.
I would like you to come back to the previous slide and elaborate a little bit on the working group input on issues related. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so there are recommendations within the final report that talk about... let me go back and give some context. Right, we've often had debates continually of what constitutes policy versus what constitutes implementation, right? And so from that notion, we had a number of discussions talking about, if the working group, which has expertise in that area, wants to provide input on implementation issues that may not be considered policy, they're strongly encouraged to do so. And so that input should also be taken into consideration if, for example, after a policy is approved, the staff is then tasked with developing the implementation plans.
Jeff, if we're going to ask questions on each slide, I actually had a question. If you go back one, I think it was, the slide where you talk about the preliminary issue report. Yeah. Right, yeah. So the group has recommended that a preliminary issue report be created, issued, whatever, and followed by a mandatory public period, comment period. We are talking about the issue report that staff produces. So the group is asking for a two-step issue report production cycle, with the possibility, for example, if staff recommend that a PDP not be initiated, for that position to be changed by public comment. Is that's the basic logic behind that?
No, well, I mean, that's certainly that. Actually, we actually never really considered that. I think the logic behind it was that what we had done in the past is we basically tell ICANN staff, here's what the council wants to see a PDP on. Go on your own, write this thing. And there have been many instances where the staff could use input from the public on the particular issue in order to craft the PDP. And so we didn't really approach it from, what if staff recommends not going forward? It was really approached from, how can we help provide input to staff to craft the issue in such a way that the council would then initiate a PDP? And so we'll let staff and of course, others on the group like Alan.
Well, can I just do a follow-up? And maybe you, Margie, or Marika want to can help me out. Does that mean that the result of the preliminary issue report would not be a recommendation to do or not do a PDP? You would wait until the final?
No, the idea is, in the way it's written currently in the recommendation, is that the public comment period would, among other things, allow for additional information that may be missing from the preliminary issue report, or the correction or updating of any information in the preliminary issue report. And I think we tried to make very clear as well, because there was a comment, I think it was from the BC, saying, well, but is it, why would you do, then nothing would be in the preliminary issue report, you would save all the information for the final issue report. We made clear as well, saying that if no comments are received on the preliminary issue report, the content of the final issue report should be substantially similar to the preliminary issue report. So the real objective is to focus on the issue itself, but all the information, relevant information, is there. And I think, for example, I think the idea is foreseen that if there are things that are incorrect in the issue report or stuff missing, that is things that staff could add. If we don't feel indeed that our recommendation as such hasn't changed based on that information, that the other comments would be attached as a summary for the council's consideration, saying, well, for the content, if there are a lot of people saying we don't agree with the staff recommendation, we think should be different, but based on the information, we stand by our position. We would submit the issue report as is, but provide a summary of the comments received for the council's consideration, together with the issue report, as part of their decision on whether to initiate a PDP formally or not. I think that was what was envisioned by the working group.
So the preliminary report would include all the recommendations that you'd make to council. Okay. And can I just ask... Sorry.
He was on the group.
Just
let him
speak. Okay. Thanks. Well, Marika has basically addressed the issue. The example I used was in Pedner, where ALAC, which is the group that requested the issue report, believed that there was a substantive omission in the issue report, but it was too late to do anything about it once it was issued. It's that kind of thing that we are trying to address. Now, if we had had that opportunity, we may have made the comment and staff might have come back and said, no, we ignored it, and we ignored it deliberately for a reason. That's still staff's prerogative. It's still a staff process. But there's an opportunity to make sure that no omissions were made.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much. And still on this slide, what time frame mods have you proposed? I mean, on the slide it says with the possibility of an extension. Is it defined more precisely by? Was it defined more precisely by the group?
It was not defined precisely in terms of an additional number of days. But it was basically that staff, there's an obligation for staff to come back and explain to the council how much time they would need, and then it was the understanding of the council essentially to give guidance or to say yes or no. It's not a carte blanche for staff to just go back and say more, right? So apparently Alan's got
to come back to the group that requested the issues report, not necessarily to council.
Correct. Sorry. Yes, right.
So there's the basic recommendation is still to have the issue report done in 45 days, but it can be extended if needed.
Preliminary issue report.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, to continue on, I'm trying to remember where we left off. Voting implementation, is this where we were? Yes. I think we went over the first bullet point, which is, you know, there were, if a working group, what our recommendation contains is an ability for a working group to identify issues to the council that they want considered altogether. And if they don't, then the council could always consider recommendations separately. But it was a view of some in the group that there have been instances in the past where, you know, maybe the council's considering things one by one, but the group actually meant for all the recommendations to be considered as a whole. And if they're not considered as a whole, then it could weaken or change some of the recommendations that the initial working group had. So we basically provide for the fact that just kind of a recommendation that if the working group says we want this considered in a group, that the council should honor that request. Doesn't have to, right? You can't force the council to. But it's basically the council should honor that request. There's new processes or procedures for the delivery of recommendations to the board after the council approves it. Historically, what's happened, right, is that if there's a PDP, a final report that's approved by the council, it goes up to the board, but usually there's a staff memo that's on top, put on top of it that summarizes what has happened. There's also memos that we never see, which may contain privileged or other information. And one of the strongest recommendations in this is that the general principle should be anything going to the board should be open, should be transparent, should be known to the community before it's presented to the board, with certain exceptions for things like privilege, you know, maybe legal privilege or certain business reasons for things to be confidential. So it's really a strong recommendation that, number one, that. But number two is that we also saw there was really no need for duplication of if there needed to be a summary of the recommendations in a report, it should really be drafted by the working group or by the council with or using the working group. So it really, to us, didn't make sense to have almost like a game of, I call it like the game of telephone, right? The working group writes the report, the GNSO council approves it, and then the staff basically writes a summary based on what they think the working group meant. If someone's going to write a summary to the board, maybe the first shot of writing that summary should actually come from the group. So, what's people laughing? There was music. Oh, the music is good. Oh, okay. So that's one of the strong recommendations. We also recommend that for recommendation four, which was, you know, certain issues that were policies that are passed, we recommend going back to a practice that we had several years ago. What's that? It should be 40. It's a recommendation we had several years. It's a practice we did several years ago. I know Marilyn remembers this, that we basically had implementation teams after a policy was passed. So, for example, transfers, the original transfer policy, there was, after the GNSO Council approved the original transfer policy, the council created an implementation team to help further define that. And it's what we're doing now with the restructuring, right. So we codify the ability to do that. We have also redefined what GNSO supermajority actually means. And this is a bullet point. We didn't actually redefine as far as changing an existing threshold. What we did is we clarified it. There was, I guess, a slight change, right? It was, if you want to go, 66% of, yeah.
I think we added the original meaning of
right.
Supermajority.
Right, which was 66% of each house. So we've added that in there. So it says redefinition, but I don't want people to get too concerned because I don't think we really redefine it. I think it was what people understood. I'm sorry. People have questions. You want to?
Yeah, just in that regard, is that, because I was concerned with that, that are we going back to what was done before the group that met, that came up with this new house structure and came up with these, or is it what they originally had proposed? Because my understanding was that this original two-thirds of each house wasn't a part of that, that came out of that particular working group. It's what we had prior to that. So there's a difference, because if we're gonna go back and include, you know, make an or two-thirds of each house, I think it's 75% of one house, the majority of the other, or two-thirds of both houses. I don't have, you know, initially a problem off the top of my head, but I would really want to understand why that working group did not originally include that, because I would be highly surprised if they didn't discuss it. Maybe not. Maybe they don't see a problem with it. But I really want to understand what the issues were around why we came to that conclusion, so that we don't inadvertently undo something that was done for a very good reason.
So, Alan, you want to go?
Yeah, I was part of that group, and I believe, although I haven't re-listened to transcripts, that we did not consider that as another one of the alternatives. We were working on type timelines. The 75 plus 50 was proposed. I think we all said, yeah, that's reasonable. In deliberations on the PDP working group, we came up with a number of scenarios where we thought it was unrealistic that if indeed you can get more than two-thirds of both houses, it met the intent of the original definition in the previous council structure, but could fail. And we thought it was reasonable to add that in as an alternative way of reaching a supermajority. Again, going back to the intent of what supermajority meant, even though we didn't consider it on the restructuring group, and we might have, having been given more time, but you'll remember there was a 30-day limit to that group working, and we were on a tight timeline.
Christina?
I was just going to follow up on what Alan was saying. I wasn't directly involved in that group, but I was part of the group within the IPC that was providing support to, I think, Steve Metallitz, who did that. And I know that those numbers have some significance. So I think Tim is right. I think I very much would like to hear from some folks who were involved in that to kind of go back and figure out why those were chosen.
That's fair enough. This is one of our first. This was about 2 years ago that we had this discussions. That's great. I mean, if you want to go back to them, we did a bunch. As Alan said, we did a bunch of scenarios and came up with a result that the group, at least the entire group, felt that if this were the case that we had two thirds of both houses, that met the initial intent and that was supermajority.
And I think this was actually an issue that was raised by the registry stakeholder group, correct? I think it was an issue that we initially didn't consider, but I think one of the comments made by the registry stakeholder group, I think that was brought to the work team and addressed.
Could very well be. The next thing on there is that, this is kind of a short bullet point for a very long conversation that we had, which is clarifying instances in which the board can reject GNSO recommendations. Strongly urge everyone read that. This relates to this is the one that relates to the issue in the current bylaws. It says that if the GNSO achieves a supermajority, this is what happens, right? And then it says if the GNSO achieves a majority, the board should be able to act, or I'm paraphrasing essentially. And so we discussed over and over, what does that actually mean? We got a memorandum from legal counsel at ICANN. We discussed that, and we came out with recommendations as to what we believe that means, and then some recommendations in the bylaws, or to change the bylaws to clarify what was meant. We also have some recommendations about in relation to proposed new of just review processes, both with respect to reviewing an actual policy that comes out of the GNSO, so providing for reviews of that, but also for providing a review of the entire PDP process. So I'm trying to think of these bullets here now as to what this is all short form. So there's working group self-assessments and then basically an assessment of the PDP process. And we talked about that there should be a certain number of completed PDPs before we actually look at a new PDP process. Before we look at reviewing a PDP process, we felt like there should be a threshold of PDPs done under this new process so that we could look at it, right? Didn't do a good job explaining that because I got a look of puzzled faces. But essentially, there's been some calls for reviews of different things, and we thought until we had a number of PDPs under our belt, the new process, we shouldn't be going back and reviewing that PDP process. Is that a better explanation?
Christina has a question.
Yeah.
I hate to even say this because it gives me a headache, but aren't we due in the whole kind of ICANN cycle of like self-review and examination, aren't we due for another GNSO Council review? And how is that going to interplay with, for example, that recommendation?
So that is a good question. The question of the council review, the GNSO review. I think there's a plan. I'm looking at staff just to make sure that I'm not wrong. I think there's a plan to do a review every 3 years, but that was changed to 5, and now the current train of thought is that you don't start a review until the previous one's finished.
Yeah, we're not sure yet how that's interpreted. I think we are under the impression it's going to start again fairly soon. I think, and again, this is just internal discussions we were talking about from the date that the board approved it, which was, several years ago. We've been doing this work for several years. So I know internally we were discussing that it might be 2013 when it starts up again.
Well, who decides that? Because informal discussions with your boss. Yeah. The point was raised. I raised the point that, I don't feel the GNSO could be ready for review once before at least the restructured work has been done. I explained how resource heavy it was for the whole community.
Sure.
And the notion, he came back with the notion of the possibility of not starting a review until the previous one's finished. I don't know. I mean,
and I'm thinking it's not a staff decision. It's whatever the board or the SIC tells us. I mean, we're not, we're not eager to do this either. Oh. We're with you on
that's what I wanted to. Thanks.
Yeah, no, we would like some rest before we start the next one.
Okay, that's good to hear. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting discussion, but I don't think it's relevant to the PDP, except in the context that Christine asked of what is the interaction with it. Now, if a new GNSO review is done and it says the council is dysfunctional because they're dealing with impossible PDP rules, then I think that would force the issue and cause a revamping of PDP rules. While listening to Jeff, I would think that if in doing the first PDP we find that there was something really, really stupid we proposed, and I'm thinking sort of related to the statement of issue, to the statement of interest issue on working group rules, then I suppose we could go back and try to fix a problem like that. But the intent is, short of it being triggered by something really stupid happening or being forced by an external review, we'd like to let these sit in for a while.
Right, and I raise it only because, you know, obviously these are some very significant changes, and if we're going to all kind of move in this direction, get our minds around it, and kind of revamp how we do things both at the council level and within each stakeholder group and constituency, it's helpful to know ahead of time whether we're going to spend a year doing that only to find out that, you know, the London School of Economics has decided that we're all doing it wrong and we have to start over.
So I've got Wolf and Marika.
Yeah, thank you, Stefan. You all know that all these recommendations with regard to the improvement process have been shifted to the Standing Committee for potential review. Yesterday we have discussed that within the committee, and there was really no, no request anything to be proactive in that way, that we take these recommendations for a review in a certain time period. It may come later on, but there is nothing is seen that anybody would like to take it up and then review anything which has been recommended in the process of the improvement right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Adding on to Wolf's point, Alan's point, if there, you know, we do the first PDP and we realize that we really missed something or overlooked something or something is not working, indeed, then there is as well the Standing Committee, instead of, you know, reviewing over the long term, that is also there to address issues on request. So if someone raises an issue saying, well, this really doesn't work, there's a way as well to look at that without overhauling the whole process or having to conduct this whole process over again, but, you know, do it in on a case-by-case basis. So.
Thank you. Margie.
This is Margie. I have a suggestion. When we get to the point of you all voting to approve the new PDP, maybe in the resolution that goes up to the board, you say something about the review cycle. I mean, it is important to give this time before there's another review of the council or something. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's binding on them, but at least let them know that with all this work just having concluded, it needs time to be in effect before and another substantial change comes into place.
Good suggestion. That could be done through just a friendly amendment or something.
Well, there is no motion right now.
No, absolutely. Sorry.
So it could be done in the
done in the actual motion.
So some other issues in there relate to, or I should say, what we've done in this final report is respond to a couple comments. One of the comments, for example, that we got is in each of the recommendations, we should indicate whether something relates to a change in the bylaws or a change or relates to something in the PDP manual. So we've indicated that. As we said, there's a new copy of what we would say it would be Annex A, which is actually in the ICANN bylaws. A new proposed PDP manual is in there. And we talked about how to transition this. And so our thoughts were, for any new PDP that's initiated, for any request for an issue report that's initiated after these get approved by the board, that would follow this process. And any existing PDP that was going on would have, would be encouraged to use this process, but obviously it's for the council to decide whether the existing PDP should change its rules. And obviously that will depend on where it is in the process and the effect of using the new PDP in that existing group. Chuck's got a question. Chuck?
Yeah, a quick question. On Section 5, the PDP manual, does the working group think that that's pretty ready shape to be used as the manual, or is it going to require more work? I'm just curious. By the way, it looks pretty good to me, but I was curious what you guys think.
I mean, the intent was that this was the PDP manual that should get approved. So that was the intent, and if there's anything that needs to be done, then please let us know. So next steps, we talked about this. There's a comment period that's underway that we asked for on the final report. Comments are due by July 9th. We put that day because we'd like to address this on the July 21st GNSO Council meeting. And so by address it could mean we approve it, We reject it. We send some things back to the working group. Because there is no meeting in August, I'm kind of making a very strong plea that you go to your groups now, get your thoughts on this. A motion will be pretty straightforward out of this. Maybe that's something we could do so you could present to your groups early. I know everyone or each group has, and we've codified this, by the way, in the new PDP, each group has the right to delay a vote for one meeting. So obviously everyone's got that right, but I would make a strong plea that not happen in this case, simply because if we don't pass it in July, we lose all of August, and then we can't address it again until September. And a number of us, this has been underway for the past over 2.5 years, or will be at that point, and I think it's in good shape. There's been a lot of comment periods already. So to the extent you can get this to your groups, get their thoughts as to what you think the next step should be, that would be great. And to the extent we can get you a motion really early so you can take that back to your groups, we'll do that. And based on the comments we get, the council will decide, you know, whether to approve everything, reject everything, or send things back to the council or to the working group for more work. And there's where you can get more information. Yes, Alan.
With all due respect, we are in an open comment period right now. We may actually get some substantive comments, which will take a bit of time to address. That may alter the timeline.
Well, no. So I think then if we had comments that needed to be addressed, then the recommendation would be to take that part of it back. And we could work on it in July or in August a little bit so that we could have something back maybe to the council in September. I just don't want to lose 2 months, if at all that's possible.
I was just pointing out it may not be possible for council to vote in July.
I can always ask.
Someone needs to make a motion then, Jeff, if you want us to vote on this at some point.
Right,
not now, obviously. But
right, there'll be a motion that we'll circulate a preliminary motion around, but it's hard to say exactly what the motion will be until we get the comments back.
Chuck.
Yeah, well, my compliments to this work team. And for those who don't fully appreciate the importance of this effort, go to Annex A of the bylaws and read the current PDP. Since it was approved, it has needed to be revised. But unfortunately, I just, on my trip across the Pacific, just went through the report in detail, and I will be submitting some suggested comments for a registry stakeholder group consideration in the next week or so after I get out of here. But I would like to just mention a few three general recommendations that I'm probably going to put forward for the registries to think about, but just welcome any input anybody else has on this as well. The first one is accepting cases where an action is specifically required of the GNSO Council, this group right here, for example, a vote. I would suggest that we use the term GNSO instead of GNSO Council, because that's in keeping with the role of the GNSO Council as being a policy management body, and it's the whole GNSO that really develops policy, and the council is the one that manages that process. My second recommendation is kind of a trivial one, and yet I think it's helpful to be consistent. And this may be a combination of your report and the existing bylaws and GNSO procedures and everything. But in some cases, we have thresholds of 33% or 66%, and in other cases, we have one-third or two-thirds. And I would just suggest we pick one of those and be consistent across. Not a big issue. Mathematically, it's very small. But it's helpful to be consistent, I think. The third general recommendation that I'll, put forward to the registries to see if they agree with me is... I think that required time period should be sufficient to allow for the bottom-up process to work. In other words, that means enough time for each of the counselors to go back to their stakeholder groups or constituencies and allow adequate time for them to consider it and give their counselors direction. And there's quite a few cases in it, and you know, I'm like the rest of you. I don't want to make the process longer, but we have to allow time for us to work with our groups. And in several cases, in quite a few cases, there are 8-day time limits, which is what the council uses, right, for motions. But if you get a document, a big document, 8 days before a council meeting and a motion, and you're expected to get feedback from your stakeholder group or constituency, that's pretty much always impossible. So what I'll do in some of my draft comments, and again, it'll go through the registry stakeholder group, I'll identify those cases. I don't want to make it longer, but I do want to make sure that the process facilitates, in fact, encourages us to involve the whole GNSO and not just the council. And also, I appreciate the fact that there's a lot more flexibility in this, and we need to keep that there so that was probably the biggest problem with the current PDP is the lack of flexibility. Thanks a lot for the great work.
Thanks, Chuck. Did you want to?
I just had a comment in relation to the motion, because what we could consider is, for example, provide different versions of motions, and depending on the comments received, you know, Jeff could then decide which one he keeps on the table and which one to withdraw, where we one saying we pass it back to the PDP work team to review, and another alternative one, GNSO Council approves or considers the recommendations. So that might be a way forward.
Yeah, no, that probably were. Thanks for that suggestion. Any further comments on this? We're 3 minutes away from our scheduled time to end. Any further comments? In which case, I'll just call on Alan, who just wants to say a few words, and then we'll end.
Thank you. I'd like to jointly nominate Marika and Jeff for the ICANN Cat Herding Award for successfully wrestling to the ground a very diverse set of issues and very diverse set of working group members in such a way that some of us predicted would never actually happen. So thank you to both.
Thanks, Alan, for doing that. So this concludes our sessions for the day. We will reconvene as far as the GNSO Council is concerned tomorrow for our lunch with the CCNSOs, and that is happening from 12:30 immediately after the board session on new GTLDs till 2 o'clock, and that is in this room, I believe. Thanks to you all. This session is now over, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you very much.